Welcome to this download from dhmissions.com. All of us here at DH Missions hope that this message will be an encouragement to you.
So then here's something that really floats my boat, is there's an eternal realm and there's an earth realm. So now the earth realm is the realm that we find ourselves in, and we find ourselves under the limitations of space and time. But then there's an eternal realm that surrounds that. God is the beginning and the end, so he knows the beginning from the end. The reason why is because he dwells in eternity. Isaiah 57, it says, I am the high and lofty one whose dwelling place is eternity. And so eternity, I look at it like this, like here's the earth realm like a bubble. Then everything around that bubble is eternity. So the eternal realm is really cool. That's where all the action is. That's where the supernatural is. That's where the miraculous is. That's where the signs and wonders are. That's where the supernatural healings are. That's where the power to see deliverance comes from. That's where the spiritual gifts have their origin in eternity. So what is really cool is God has set up a game plan so that he can dwell inside of our hearts. And as a result, when we go through Genesis, you'll find that he gave man authority in the earth realm. Where we walk on, in one verse it says, wherever you set the soles of your feet, that land I will give unto you. Anyway, we have authority in the earth realm, so we can yield that authority back to God and cause an opening to happen to the eternal realm, to eternity, and have those attributes and those things that are happening in eternity pour forth into the earth realm. It just boggles my mind when I think about it. When Jesus came into the earth, he was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. John the Baptist that preceded him said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. When you hear that phrase, the kingdom of God is at hand, you get into literal definitions that says the kingdom of God is imminent. It's going to happen, you know. But when you think about it, the kingdom of God is at hand. That means it's within your grasp. You have the ability to place your hands on the kingdom of God. You have the ability to place your hands on the eternal realm. That's what Jesus was really trying to get across here. And repent. That word there, the second half of that word is pent. That's also the same root that we get the word penthouse from. When you think of penthouse, that's usually the highest floor on a hotel building or the highest floor on a condominium building. So to repent literally in the Greek means to change your thinking, to change your thinking, to change your thinking to a higher form of thinking. See, there are certain laws and principles that come into place in the earth realm, but yet there are laws that supersede that in the eternal realm. So when a doctor comes to you and says, you're going to die of cancer, okay, that's falling within the parameters of the laws of the earth realm. Now, you can go to a higher authority in the realm of eternity, which is God through Jesus Christ, and he has a higher level of truth concerning your situation. And when you have eternity come to bear on your situation, it's no longer a situation where you have to die, but according to Psalms, it says you can live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. So this stuff fascinates me. It just fascinates me that we can access the eternal realm and see the miraculous happen in the earth. Now, what I really want to get down to today, I mean, this is all kind of leading into the same thing, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the testimony. Scott's been referring to testimonies have power. I just wanted to give you some background. This is something that I've been looking into for a couple of years, testimony. When you get into the Greek origin of testimony, you're going to find that there's a root where the definition actually says to duplicate or repeat. This is a Greek definition for testimony. To duplicate or repeat, to restore as a sort of reduplication. Man, this thing started just going cling inside my head, you know, and I'm going, wow, to duplicate or repeat. So have you ever noticed that when you give a testimony of how you saw God move in a particular situation and you start talking about that, and then someone says, well, yeah, that reminds me of a time I saw God do this. And then I saw God do that. And then you go through the details. And what you're doing is rehearsing a testimony. And when you keep doing that, what happens is I've noticed that faith just seems to come alive. And so then all of a sudden when it comes time, well, you know, I have a problem that I've been challenged with, and I would really like for you to pray for me concerning that. I've been involved in situations like this dozens of times. You start rehearsing the testimonies. I saw God do this. Yeah, and that reminds me of a time I saw God do this. And then faith starts coming alive, and all of a sudden it just seems like it's no problem to believe for the situation that you're facing, because, like, if God did it for this guy and he did it for that guy, for sure he can do it for me, because they're nobody special and God cares about me as much as he does them. So, of course God would do it for me. You know, faith comes alive. Well, that's because when you rehearse a testimony, you're actually causing this duplication ability to come forth. And God is setting the atmosphere to reduplicate or to redo the miracles that you are rehearsing with the other people that you're with. This is how this functions. So anyway, what we see is that when we repeat or rehearse a testimony, the testimony itself is encompassed or surrounded with the inherent duplicating ability or power to cause it to happen again. Therefore, the act of repeating a testimony is filled with do-it-again power. That's what I call do-it-again power. You know, the miracle-working ability of God in motion or in operation. If you wanted to get into the Greek word for that, is energeia. Energeia. The miracle-working ability of God in operation or in motion through us. So I found that there were five benefits of rehearsing a testimony. The first benefit is the benefit of generational connections. The benefit of generational connections. And in Psalms 132, verses 11 through 12, it says, "The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. And if thy children will keep thy covenant and thy testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore." So you start looking for the word testimony and then what is surrounding that word testimony in the verse. And so you're talking about if they'll keep your covenant and your testimony that you teach your children, that they shall also sit on your throne. So the callings and the giftings and all of that and your ability to establish the kingdom of God in the earth will come upon your children as well. Now, when you read through the Old Testament, you're going to find that testimony is frequently bunched in with two other things, like the law and the statutes and the testimony. So you'll hear God repeating this theme over and over in the Old Testament. If you'll rehearse the law, if you'll rehearse the statutes and rehearse the testimonies with your family and with your children, I will establish you. And so the law is, the do's and don'ts and things like that. But then the statutes are the precepts behind those laws. This is how these laws function, the causes and effects and so forth like that. And then the testimony is rehearsing of the miraculous deeds that you've seen God do. So the second benefit of rehearsing a testimony is the benefit of wisdom, the benefit of wisdom. And in Psalms 19:7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Okay, so it brings wisdom to rehearse the testimony of the Lord. The third benefit of rehearsing a testimony is the benefit of understanding. And in Psalms 119, verse 99, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." And if you go to the next verse, it also says, "I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts," or the statutes. So you can kind of see these things being interwoven, these three things, through some of these passages. The fourth benefit is the benefit of salvation. Psalms 119, verse 146. Psalms 119, verse 146. "I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies." So you'll see there's a correlation between keeping the testimonies and being saved, or the benefit of safety. And then the fifth benefit is kind of a conglomeration of all three. If you're rehearsing the law, the statutes, and the testimony, you're going to find in Psalms 119, 88 through 93, you're going to find that brings life to deadly situations. It brings life to deadly situations. Or another way to say that, it brings heaven to earth. It brings heaven to earth. So I'll read through the passage real quickly. Psalms 119, 88 to 93. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth, and it abides, or it lives. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Unless your law, you can see all three of these things coming into place. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts or your statutes, for by them you have given me life. There are some benefits to rehearsing the testimony and the law and the statutes. I wanted to touch real briefly on the power of prayer and words, the power of prayers and words. Ruth and I delivered some cookies to our next door neighbor last week, and he's not a believer yet, but we have made him a target, and he will be a believer before this is all over. It's really funny. So, you know, you hear a lot of cussing and swearing in his conversation and so forth, but we were telling him, I forget what the story was, you know, it was something that you had prayed. Oh, yeah. Okay, when Ruth and I got married 4.5 years ago, she's from Seattle, and I'm from around here, originally from Ohio. I went to Seattle and met her there to get married, and then we packed up her car and put a trailer on the back of it and tent camped all the way back to here. And so one of the first stops we made was in Yellowstone Park. And so we're telling this story to the guy next door. And as we came into the gate of Yellowstone Park, Ruth says, you know, God, I'd like to see a few buffalo. Well, what happened is we saw a few thousand buffalo. And so we couldn't go anywhere, man, without waiting for buffalo. Oh, there's another herd, you know. There goes another hour and a half, 2 hours, you know. And the next door neighbor says, you need to be careful how you pray. You need to be more specific. The guy's, man, he's on his way. He's already understanding some of the operations and functionings of spiritual principles of the kingdom of God, you know, and he hasn't even given his life to the Lord yet. So we're pretty fired up about what's happening with him, you know. And so you got to be careful how you pray. Be specific. I prayed one time when I was ministering in Kenya. We had about a day to kill before our flight took off. And so we're in Nairobi, and just north of Nairobi, there's a big game park. They don't have very many lions in this game park, but they have just about everything else. And the guy that I was with and myself, we wanted to see a lion, you know. So, God, there has to be some lions in here, you know. And after about 3 or 4 hours driving through the game park, I had the window cranked down because it was fairly warm that day. And there was a lion sleeping on the side of the road. And we woke him up, and the taxi driver stopped the car. And I'm looking like from here to that speaker box, in the face of a male lion, you know, and I'm going, oh, nice kitty, you know. But you have to be careful how you pray, you know, because there's power on it, you know. God gets involved in your prayers. He gets involved in seeing to it that you can have the desires of your heart. God wants to hook up with you and have you invite him into situations where he can manifest his power and demonstrate the miraculous signs and wonders of the kingdom of God in the earth. Here's a passage, Luke 1:37. I know I'm kind of shotgunning you with different subject matters, but it all kind of ties together here. You'll see in a minute. So in Luke 1:37, this is when Gabriel, the angel, visited Mary and was showing her the plan of how God was going to impregnate her with the Holy Spirit and then cause her to have a virgin birth of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ. And at the end of this discussion, the angel says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Well, when you start doing the Greek definition thing, you're going to find that nothing is a combination of no and thing. So when you start doing the Greek roots of thing, you're going to find that thing comes from the word rhema. That's the Greek word rhema. In other words, those verses that God highlights on the page, And then you start ruminating over those words and digesting them into your spirit and rehearsing them before God in prayer and adding faith to them. That's rhema. So no revealed word will be impossible. Well, check this out. When you start doing the Greek definitions of where impossible came from, it comes from this word called adunateo. Well, that's a form of dunamis, which means miracle working ability. Miracle working ability. So when you put it all together, you plug the definitions into the verse, you're going to see that it says no revealed or revelatory word from God or no rhema from God shall come to pass without the miracle working ability to make it happen. Glory to God. So when God gives you a rhema, when he gives you a promise, when he highlights a word, pay attention to it, because there is miracle working ability wrapped all around that thing. Getting back into just Bible doctrines, you know, but there are three omnis that are God's attributes. One is he is omnipresent. In other words, he's everywhere. Another one is he's omniscient. In other words, he's all-knowing or all-wise. Another one is he's omnipotent. In other words, he is all-powerful. Now, think about this. Think about this. Okay, he's everywhere. He's omnipresent. God is everywhere. Okay, so now he's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me, Jesus said. And then the whole thing is he's given it unto us. So all power. Okay, so God has all power, and he's everywhere, and he's all-wise and all-knowing. Okay, so he wants to share all of this with us. So he wants us to be able to tap into all of his wisdom and all of his knowledge. And you think about it, he's present everywhere. God carries these attributes. These attributes are built into his nature. And so wherever he is, you're going to find the all wisdom and all knowledge is there also. And then the all power is there as well. So all wisdom and all knowledge and understanding, and with him being all present, that means he's like right around us, wherever we are. And so all this power, all this wisdom and knowledge is just hanging right around us, waiting for us to access it. You know, kind of keep that in mind when you're rehearsing your rhema words, your promises from God, from the word that he's giving you. When you look at the Amplified version of Luke 1:37, it says, "For with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." So that backs up what I was telling you through the Greek definitions. Here's an interesting passage. Mark 16:20 from the New International Version says, "Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it." So the power to manifest miracles is wrapped around the word. So there is creative power on the words that come out of our mouth. Just like when God created the universe and God said, "Let there be light." And God said, "Let there be the fields and grass. Let there be the animals and the birds." So he said, and then it happened. That same type of creative ability is on the words that we speak. That's why Jesus says we'll be judged for every idle word that we speak. Because if we become conscious of the amount of power that God has placed within us and how it is released, we would be more careful about our conversation and be speaking life to situations. You can speak death to a situation just by negative comments about it. So focus on life. Okay, so one more passage, and then we're going to step up to the plate and try to take a couple swings at some situations in your life that you're facing. Luke 1:13. "But the angel said unto him," this is Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, and he's doing his temple duty in the Holy of Holies, and the angel Gabriel visits him and tells him that Mary's going to be delivering a child that's the Messiah. He's the promised one. And so the angel says to Zechariah, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." So when you get into Vincent's word studies in the New Testament, he brings a little bit more insight into what the angel actually told Zacharias. He said literally, "That prayer which thou no longer offerest was heard." So Vincent is using the old King James form of the English language here. So if you straighten it out into how we speak today, it's going to say something more like that prayer that you no longer pray, that prayer that you stopped praying because of the situations and the circumstances that you've been looking at for so many years, for so long, have become more real than what that promise was that I gave to you years ago, or that prayer that you prayed for a certain loved one in your family that is a hard nut to crack concerning getting him involved with the kingdom of God. That prayer that you used to pray and the situations that you face that you cannot conquer and you just gave up on because those situations have created more of a reality for you than what that prayer was that you prayed years ago and you stopped praying that prayer. The angel came and he said that prayer was heard by God and he has answered it. He is answering that prayer. So I just want to describe a couple of things that have happened in my life that kind of fit this topic area. I was married previously, and at the age of 30, just all of a sudden my wife said, it's over. She moved out of the house and divorced me, and there wasn't anything I could do about it. She was working the law, how you work it, and she was able to force a divorce on me. It took about a year and a half for this all to play out. But I was believing and believing and believing, God, you know, I'm committed to this marriage. I want to see you bring this back together. And I finally got a word from the Lord the morning of the final judgment from the court. And as I was getting ready to go to the court, the Lord finally spoke to me. I was pursuing him diligently with fasting and prayer for a year and a half. And finally, I heard God speak to me more clearly than I've ever heard him any other time in my life. He says, I command you to let her go. I said, okay, that's all I needed to hear, you know. And so it was not an easy one for me to chew down. So I went in there, everything was finalized, and I went home and just came unglued because I had a desire to have children, to raise children from the very get-go up in things like I'm revealing, you know, teaching to you today, how to bring the supernatural into the earth realm. And raise the child in such a way that eternal precepts and realities are more real to them than earthly realities are. I just want to raise someone up from the get-go as my child, you know. And so I remember walking through my backyard just seeing all my dreams go up in smoke in one day. And I was thinking, 30 years old, I was actually 31 by this time. I was thinking, I don't see how I can get back together and start another marriage and get this all off the ground again, you know. It just seemed unreal. It just didn't seem possible. And so then time went by, you know. I turned 40 and turned 45 and then not a hint of any possibilities for a wife, you know. And so I found myself in the same category that Zechariah did because he was old by the time the angel came to him. And so, you know, 45, and then I turned 50. Still hadn't met that special someone yet. And then I got a rhema from God on my 50th birthday, June the 14th, 2003. I went and I looked at the significance of the number 50 and came to find that it's associated with the year of Jubilee. So I started reading about what is the year of Jubilee all about. And the thing that God highlighted and leapt off the page to me was, every person shall return to his family. And I'm going, but God, I don't even have a family of my own to return to. Well, the next weekend, my older sister, who lived near Spokane, Washington, was having her youngest daughter get married, and I felt like I needed to go to that wedding. Well, I was returning to a part of my family. And on June the 20th, 6 days after I got this rhema word, I met Ruth. Ruth is the younger sister of my older sister's husband. Yeah, I said that right, didn't I? And then not quite a year later, Ruth and I got married. So still in my 50th year, God gave me a precious gift, gave me a wife. We went through some stuff. She's had a desire to have children all her life, too. She had a prophetic word when she was in her 30s concerning having a child, and then the guy found out that she wasn't married, and he started backing off. He says, oh, maybe it's spiritual children, you know. And he prophesied that he saw a daughter coming to her that was in her image with blonde hair. And so we believe that word is still hanging all around us, and we're about to walk into it. So then a couple of years ago, Ruth, I asked her, it's okay to tell you her age. She was nearly 45, and she and I went in for a fertility test because we weren't seeing anything coming of the children thing, and she's getting up there. And so the fertility doctor, after going through the test, he says, well, the window of opportunity for you to have children is virtually closed. It has virtually closed. Ruth was 44 at the time. Well, it's really, really something how God does stuff. So we thought that, well, the doctor knows what he's talking about. So what we did is we set a course toward becoming licensed as foster parents. If we can't have children of our own, at least we're going to have impact on somebody's children, you know. And then some of you saw us last year. We had a couple of a brother, sister that were 3 months and 15 months, and we had them for several months. But what happened before we got the foster children was Ruth wound up in a pretty serious car accident, and it jarred her around pretty well, and went to the emergency room and started taking treatments. And then several days after that, just this thought came into her mind about, maybe I need to take a pregnancy test because I don't feel right, you know. And she'd been in car accidents before, and she was going through a different set of symptoms. Took a pregnancy test, found out she was pregnant. And then we feel that because of all of the painkillers and stuff like that that she'd submitted herself to, and x-rays and MRI and stuff like that, that a couple weeks after that, she miscarried. Okay, so now for a couple of years, we're going around going, that was probably our only shot. The next couple of Mother's Days were pretty tough. So I found myself in a situation like Zechariah. Well, you can come up here now. So anyway, we found out last July that Ruth was pregnant again, and this pregnancy took, and she's 47 now, and so the doctors are amazed, and God came and answered our prayer. I wanted to put it to you guys, what is it that you guys have been promised by God? I mean, it's something that you really, really down in your heart wanted to see happen in your life, and just everything's come against it. And you just don't see any way of it coming around. And I believe that there's a power in the testimony that we're giving you today that you can grab a hold of and see something miraculous happen in your situation. I'm not talking about having children necessarily. Maybe it is. Maybe it's about finding that special one for a mate. I mean, that seems to be something that the enemy really wants to keep from happening in the body of Christ. But it could be anything, like the type of career that you've always wanted to, or just an activity that you've always wanted to participate in, or you know you're called to some kind of ministry and there's just no hope. You just haven't seen that door even budge for years, to the point where you know how, like, if a door is sealed shut for a long period of time, it gets harder and harder to see that thing push open because of corrosion and rust and so forth. When I was preparing for this message, I ran across something on the internet. And this guy named Philip Babineau, when he was leading a worship session in Louisiana in July of 2007, came across with a prophetic utterance that I feel really hits the mark for where we're at. There are a number of you that are gifted and called to ministry on a high level, especially pulpit ministry of some kind, and you've been there before, and you've just seen everything come against it. Man, people have stabbed you in the back, or things just didn't work out for whatever reason. It's not over. It's not over. This is a new year. This is a new season, and God wants you to step forth. You may have to come out of your comfort zone. You may have to come out of your comfort zone. I haven't done something like this in years, really. I mean, a couple times here and there, like at a Bible study, and but it's been a while. There's been a desire for me to do something like what I'm doing today for years. And ever since I moved to New Hampshire, I believed that there was going to be some kind of an opportunity for me to do something like this. But for over 6 years, I've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally something happened. And so as a result of this happening for me today, I want you guys to be encouraged that if it can happen for me, it can happen for you. And I don't want to see you guys wait around for 6 years like I did up here in New Hampshire before you start walking in what God's called you to do. Start getting before the Lord. Doors are starting to open up. I'm just going to go ahead and have them play that. So this prophecy, Ruth and I spent the time to transcribe it, so we have copies of it. If it really speaks to you, you can grab a copy of it right here. This lasts about 5.5 minutes, and we'll close the service with this.
I feel the Lord wants to say that many of us in this place tonight have come to a place of arrival, come to a place of spiritual satisfaction, or maybe even confusion around the fact of what's next, and God, what do you want me to do next, and what is there that's for me to do next? And the Lord's been speaking to me, and I want to speak it over you right now, that there's a forerunner spirit that the Lord is rising up, and what that means is this: God is opening new doors in ministry and new doors in anointing in his people. And it doesn't matter how old you are. He's opening doors in you so that the generation that's following you will be able to see that those doors are open and will be able to walk into a new place of intimacy with the Lord and a new place of ministry like never before. It's kind of like a slingshot. When you try to open a door that's been locked for 50 years, it's old and it's crusty and it's really hard to beat down. But when you go up to a door that's just been opened, it just swings open. So I just want to encourage some of you guys tonight. It's hard for me to do this while playing. I just want to encourage some of you tonight who have found yourself with the Lord and said, God, I don't know what's next. I don't know what you want me to do next. The very thing that God may have for you as a 6-year-old and even as a 7-year-old and as an 80-year-old is to open a door, to begin praying like never before, maybe to begin fasting like never before, maybe to begin walking in evangelism like never before, because there's somebody watching. There's somebody watching you. There have been generations upon generations upon generations upon generations that have looked to the generation before and have not seen open doors. They've seen closed doors. They've seen doors that said you're not ready. They've seen doors that have said this isn't happening anymore. They've seen doors that said that's too radical. They've seen doors that said God doesn't move this way anymore. But God wants you to open new doors for this generation coming to look and say, if he can do it, if she can do it, then I can run through that door. And God is going to raise up an army of all the generations that is going to follow him and do greater things than we've ever seen or ever expected. So 50-year-old and 6-year-old, don't feel like you missed out on the fire of God or on the timing of God in the twilight of your life. You may be the start of the move of God that's coming to this area. You may be the start. Hear me tonight. Hear my heart. You may be the very flame that starts a fire. Oh, Lord. Let's just raise our hands right now. We say yes, oh God. We say yes to you. We say yes to you. We say yes to you, God. We say yes to you. We say yes to you. We say yes to you. Come on, if that's your heart, Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, oh God, whatever it is, oh God, even if it doesn't make sense, I may not be gifted, I may not be anointed in that area, whatever it is, I say yes to you, I say yes to you, I say yes to you, Lord. We say yes to you, Lord. Come on, begin to listen. I believe the Lord right now is speaking to hearts and minds. He's sharing secrets. He's sharing plans. He's sharing his heart. yes to you. We say yes to you. As we prepare the way, we prepare the way, we prepare the way of the Lord. We prepare.
If this has been speaking to anybody, I think the best way to do this is to follow what Mike instructed you earlier, to gather in this area here and just kind of spill over however far you have to, and then we can have the elders and the leaders pray in agreement with you. You may not know what it is that God's called you to do, but you know there's something. And at least stand in agreement with somebody that God will reveal that something to you, you know? I believe that God is really going to significantly move on your prayers today concerning this.
Am I on now? I am. Keep on coming down. Keep on doing what you intended to do. Don't let me get in the way. But there was a word that came to me while Dan was speaking. And first I thought it was for him, and then I knew it was more than just for him. I knew it was for the body. And that word is that there is a home run about to be hit. There is a home run about to be hit. And I really don't have to add much to that. It says what it says. But I want you to realize that you may not have hit a home run in the past, or maybe you have not hit a home run in a long time. But there is a home run about to be hit. And the point is, you're the one that needs to grab the bat. You're the one that needs to get up to the plate. And you heard what Dan was saying. And I'm going to take, I don't think a step that's out of what I should do, but I haven't talked to anybody. But as an elder of this church, I'm telling you, you have the freedom in this church to move and to do what you feel called to do. As an elder, I'm saying you have the freedom to pick up that bat, walk to that plate, and do what God is calling you to do.
Father, you've heard the testimony that came forth from Ruth and I today, and you're fully aware of the desires and cries of the hearts of everyone here today, Lord God. And we know that you are in the middle of all this crying out that we have. And Lord, we just thank you for moving. Thank you for opening up the eternal realm. Thank you for opening up the provisions of the kingdom of God to come to bear and to manifest and begin working on our behalf, in our situations that we're laying before you, Lord God. We've been crying out to you, Lord, and just like the Israelites when they were in Egypt, they cried out to you and cried out to you, and then finally you couldn't stand it any longer and you had to move on their behalf. And we believe that the cries that have come from your people today have come to that tipping point
where you're pouring out the eternal realm upon our earthly situation, Lord God. We just thank you for opening the doors now in the name of Jesus, that the door has flung open. Doors that have been shut for years, Lord God, they have opened, Lord God. And we just thank you for causing the faith to come alive, to walk through these doors accurately and precisely according to your plan and purposes, Lord God. It is your plans, it is your purposes that shall prevail, Lord. And I thank you, Lord God. I speak over every person life to their dead situation. I speak life to those things they thought had died years ago. I say that your future is alive and not dead. Your future is full of purpose and destiny from the kingdom of God. From you shall bring forth the heart of God in the earth. You shall bring forth the manifestations of God in the earth. I come against every blockade, every hindrance, every roadblock in the name of Jesus. I pull it down by the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say, be free to enter into your future. Be free to enter into your destiny. Be free to enter into your ministries. Be free to move into your purposes. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them bring forth your fire, Lord God. Let them bring forth your goodness. Let them bring forth your mercy. Let them bring forth your gentleness and your peace. Let them bring forth your glory, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for moving obstacles, moving mountains, Lord God, making the crooked path straight, causing them to walk on to high places. Hallelujah. We thank you for moving heaven and earth to see their destinies come to pass, Lord God. Everybody has something that they can contribute to the church in the way of a revelation or a testimony or an encouragement or a prayer or a prophetic utterance. We just thank you, Lord, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are activated in every person's life to higher levels than ever before. We bless them in the name of Jesus. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Come alive to your purpose. Come alive to your destiny. Come alive to your calling. We come against condemnation in the name of Jesus. Some of us have experienced condemnation from others, but I think that bigger than that, that there's been self-condemnation. We've just been blaming ourselves and condemning ourselves, and it's created a huge logjam. So I pray, Lord God, for a cleansing. Wash out this logjam of condemnation in the name of Jesus. Let purity come forth. Let purity of heart come forth. Cause us to see ourselves the way you see us, Lord.
Bring an end to striving, Lord God, and let an ease of moving forward be established in each life. We thank you for that. Clarity, Lord, clarity of purpose, clarity of vision, clarity to see ourselves as you see us, Lord.
This teaching from DH Missions has been helpful to you. For more resources or more information concerning DH Missions, please feel free to visit our website at www.dhmissions.com. Remember that God has an amazing plan for you. We want to see you find your purpose and walk in it. Be blessed, and we pray that God's presence, wisdom, and favor increase in your life. And we'll see you next time at dhmissions.com.